I'm Sarah Lipman. Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we'll be learning Sefer Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 20. The overall message of this chapter is integrity, of developing internal and external consistency in our hearts, in our actions, in our lives. The word that really jumps out in this chapter is Evan, building block, or waitstone. It appears four times in the chapter. That's 11 times more frequently than in the rest of the book, and 20 times more frequently than it usually occurs in Tanakh as a whole. Only the word ish, person, appears more often in this chapter. We'll study that in chapter 29, where it appears with even greater frequency. The basis for our study of this chapter are the teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. One of the most striking things about the appearance of the word Evan in this chapter is the way that it appears. In verse 10, Evan va'evan, epha va'epha to'avas Hashem gam shnehem. A waitstone and a waitstone, a measure and a measure. Both are offensive to God. And in verse 23, to'avas Hashem, Evan va'evan. It is offensive to God to have one weight and another weight. Umozne mirma lo tov. Dishonest scales are not good. This double emphasis on the word Evan really screams for our attention. As Joseph told Pharaoh, when God repeats a message twice, that means you really have to be paying attention. Let's start by taking a look at where the Torah introduces us to the idea of an Evan, a stone. That's in Bereishis chapter 2. Uzahav ha'aretz ha'hi tov, sham ha'bedolach ve'evan ha'shoha. The gold of this land is good, the bedolach stone and the shoham stone are there. So the first word of the use Evan, stone, is the context of a precious stone. That shoham stone is not an ordinary stone. It's a kind of stone that's principally used for engraving a seal or as a base for writing. Some say it's onyx. In the regal garments of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, the Evan HaShoham is used on the shoulders, where the primary significance is in the words, the names of the tribes engraved upon them, and on the breastplate, the Choshen, where the significance is the value of the stone itself as a precious stone. So this is the first stone the Torah wishes to introduce us to. This is the meaning of stone by which all other stones are to be understood. The meaning of Evan, the meaning of stone, is that things have inherent value in and of themselves, and they also have value when they have the vehicle of the name they carry, the message that they bring. Our next introduction to the word stone is at the Tower of Babel, Vatehilahem Halavena le'oven, and they used bricks as their oven, as their building stones. So an Evan is a natural building stone, a natural brick. So what do we know so far about stones? Precious in and of itself, and valuable for the name, the purpose it carries. Second thing, a stone is the natural form of building block. Let's see the next thing the Torah wants us to know about Evan, about stone. Evan is a portmanteau. It's a word that's comprised of two smaller words, av and ben, parent and child. Thus, Sarah says to Avram, I have not been able to have children. If you have children with Hagar, ulai ibonem imena, perhaps I will be built through her. The ben, the child, ibone, she will be built through. The building blocks of human accomplishment, of civilization and history, are represented like courses of stones in a large construction through parents and children, generation after generation. It is Sarah, with her insight, who understands that one can be built through their children, their biological children, or their non-biological children, those whom they educate. Ibone, I will be built. Built, bana, from Evan, stone. Stone upon stone, step by step, erecting a dwelling place in which a person can develop, erecting a society in which people can develop. You may have noticed that I translated Av and Ben as parent and child rather than father and son. That's because the word for daughter, bat, is a shortened form of the feminine banat. In other words, it's a feminine word of ben, son. And you can see that in the plural of bat, daughter, which is banot, it includes that ben of the original. It is thus also related to bina, insight, of which women have a greater than fair share. All of human history, the development of society, is an ongoing work on one great majestic building. Just as parents build a home in which children develop and grow and learn to build their own homes in the future, all of human history is building one grand majestic home in which individual people can thrive and grow. God is the architect and the master contractor, and every human being in every generation form the building blocks. We work, we construct, each one in cooperation, hand in hand with others. And Sarah says to Abraham, if I have no children, what more will be built upon my layer? I want to be built up. This is why one who raises a child who's not their biological child is still their real parent, because parenting and building are about educating and building people, society, and history, not about exchanging genetic material. So an Evan is a stone that has value in and of itself and is valuable as well for the purpose and mission engraved upon it. An Evan is a stone for building. It's the natural building block. And an Evan is Av and Ben, parent and child, building blocks of human history. What else is an Evan? As used in this chapter of Mishlei, Evan is a weight stone. It's the stone that you put on a balance in order to accurately measure how much you're buying or selling. And Shlomo HaMelech tells us, most emphatically, false weights and measures are repugnant to God. They're repugnant to God even in your pocket if you aren't using them. We have two questions here. First of all, what is the very big deal about false weights and measures as opposed to anything else? Not everything is offensive to God, even if it's wrong. And second of all, what is the connection between how I weigh and measure and do my business and all the other aspects of Evan Stone that are so clearly connected one with the other? Let's think about what it means to use a weight or calibrate a scale. It is quite literally an action that defines integrity and justice. Calibrating a scale says, this is the means by which we will measure the reality. If it is more than this, it's too much. If it is less, it is too little. This defines what is just. The Talmud in Tractate Shabbos teaches, Amar Rava, B'shah shemachnisin adam ladin, omrim lo, nosasa venosata be'emuna. Rava teaches, when a person is brought to judgment for his life, they ask him first, did you conduct your business trade faithfully in a trustworthy way? Have you been true, honest, and upright in your dealings? Woe unto us if we lower our eyes in shame at the very first question asked of us in heaven. Human society is founded on the ability of people to rely on one another's word, to trust one another, to have confidence that the contracts will be fulfilled, that payment will be made, that money will have value, that measures will be honest. Society literally depends on honest transactions in order to function sanely. The smallest dishonesty, the smallest misrepresentation of quality or condition, reneging on agreements, these expose us to God's disgust, that same disgust that showed itself at the time of Noah's flood, the Tower of Babel, the overturning of Sodom and Gomorrah, and in Egypt. God cares very, very much about our honesty and integrity in business dealings, because there we demonstrate a world that is just, fair, and trustworthy. If you carry two weights, if you have a double standard, if you sell less than you promise, you deliver quality less than you promised, you're dishonest in your business dealings or misleading, those acts themselves deny God rules the world. They deny that there is such a thing as right and wrong. They deny that God can see what you are doing and that he knows the truth. You deny that society is a place where people support one another, and instead you say that it's dog eat dog, everyone grab what they can. And for what? Are you actually going to get or profit any more than what God has chosen to grant you anyway? But let's take this further. Let's understand how the standard by which we measure the choices we make in our mundane, prosaic business life relate to the building blocks of humanity and the world. We know that everything in this world is an expression of a higher spiritual reality, a spiritual life force that causes it to exist. Every event, every occurrence, everything in the world around us is an expression of a higher spiritual reality. How about the reality of our own minds? Hakol tzafui v'harishus nesuna ubetuv ha'olam nadon. Everything is foreseen, says the Mishnah in Avos, yet freedom of choice is given. We have free will. We are human beings. That's the defining characteristic of being a human being. When I make a human conscious choice, that has real creative force. That is a use of the divine life breath within me. And just as God's word creates reality, my choices create reality. What happens inside my mind That is a physical and spiritual reality. I'm not in control entirely of what reality is created. God is still master of his universe. God will not allow his will to be thwarted. He will not permit the good, the tov, that he has designed for the world to be choked off by my evil or bad or mistaken choices. So every choice I make creates a spiritual reality that does nudge the world closer to God's ultimate goal. If I choose good, I can directly contribute to the progress of the greater good. Or I can choose bad. I can create knots. I can create tangles. I can pull that band and rubber band way out to where it doesn't belong. It's going to stretch. It's going to kink. It's going to wrap around itself. And that twisting is the energy of a twisted and unclear and unsmooth world. There are consequences to the choices I make with my free will. All of life has a twofold aspect. There's what happens to me and what comes from me. There's what I receive, and there's how I respond to it and what I produce. So my future lies entirely in God's hands, and yet it also lies in my own, because there is an aspect of the future that I create for myself according to my good or bad use of the past, the present, my choices. According to that free choice of mine, God responds and reflects to me, and thus I half make my future. Even vo even, I build reality below, and God builds a corresponding spiritual reality above. Even vo even, a stone, a stone. There is a stone above, there is a stone below. It's a building block. Every action I take, every choice I make, and most importantly, the integrity of my choices. How does my behavior show itself? Am I one person in the synagogue, in the shul, and a different person out in the marketplace? Am I one person out in public society and a whole different person in my home? Where is my integrity? Even vo even, there is a reality I build below, and it builds a reality above to match. Verses 5 through 9. Mayim amukim etza velev ish ve'ish tevuna yidzlena. Wise counsel is like deep waters in a person's heart. A man of understanding draws it forth. We're each granted insight and wisdom into our own hearts. No one can know our inner workings as well as we know ourselves, but it does require the courage to look honestly within, patience to let the insight swell up, and commitment to self-knowledge and greater integrity. Rav Adam yikra ish chasto, v'ish emunim miyimtza. Many people proclaim that they're good and kind, but a really trustworthy person is hard to find. Mishalech besumot tzadik, ashrei vanav acharav. One who walks in innocence is a righteous person, and fortunate are his children who follow after him. Melech Yoshev al kisei din, mizareh beinav kol ra. When the king sits on a throne of judgment, he scatters all who are evil in his eyes. Mi omar zikisi libi, taharti mechatasi. Who can say I've purified my heart, I'm pure of sin? We would do better to be our own strictest judges. Then we would have nothing to fear from anyone else's opinion of us. Verse 10, Even vo even, eifa ve eifa, toavas Hashem gam shnehem. A weight and another weight, a measure and another measure, both are offensive to God. Advertising one price, charging another, pretending to be something you're not, even in your own favor, any double standard is offensive to God. Verse 23, Toavas Hashem even vo even, umoznei mirma lo tov. Having one weight and another weight is offensive to God. Dishonest scales are not good. Verse 27, Ner Hashem nishmas adam, chofes kol chadrei voten. A person's soul is the lamp of God, searching and illuminating his innermost chambers. Live with yourself. Don't hide from yourself. Shine God's candle within you. Illuminate your heart and mind. See who you are. See who you can become. Think about how to get there. Become a person of integrity, inside and outside. Be the real you, the true you, someone open and honest to others. What is an even? It's precious in and of itself. It's valuable for the name it carries. What is an even? A building block, a parent and a child, building blocks of human history, and the tools and standards I use to judge myself and others. Even vo even, it's the world I build below, the world I build above. Thank you for studying together with me. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.